It's just gone 9:30 on a Thursday morning and time for Uncensored with Penny Faree, brought to you proudly by IPSS Electronic Security.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Uncensored, the show where we dig deep into the issues that matter most to the people of Kwadekuza. Today, we confront a crisis of leadership in our region. In Kwadekuza, the numbers don't lie. Electricity losses now hemorrhaging over 41 million rand a month. Roads pockmarked by neglect and a budget that is, by all accounts, unraveling under the weight of rising costs, shrinking services and absent accountability. Meanwhile, households are burdened with higher tariffs, failing service delivery and the haunting reality of a municipality in financial freefall. Joining me in studio is Warwick Chapman, chairperson of the Kwadekuza Residents Forum, a civic advocate and watchdog for transparent and accountable governance. Warwick brings a wealth of insights. He's a former two-term councillor, businessman, and a respected political analyst, someone who understands both the inner workings of governance and the daily concerns of residents. Now, at a time when public trust is at its lowest and concerns over municipal spending is growing, this conversation couldn't be more urgent. So, Warwick, good to have you back on the show.
Thanks, Penny. Thanks, Dave. And good morning to the listeners.
Now, in February this year, for the first time in 20 years, Kwadekuza Council approved an adjustment budget with a 270 million deficit. So the term deficit budget has been used frequently in recent weeks. And we're just going to switch over to Nelsie Raj. She is the head of the caucus of Action SA. Just to explain to our listeners what it means of a deficit budget and how we actually got here. So take a listen to this.
Yes. In this year, it has to do with the suspension of the CFO in 2023. Let me give you the timeline. On the 31st of May 2023, Council approved the 2023-2024 budget. And there was no problem with the 2023-2024 budget, and Kwadekuza Municipality fared well. 40 days later, the CFO was suspended. His suspension went for over a year. During his suspension, the 2024-2025 budget had to be prepared. And that budget was approved at the end of May 2024. The CFO had no hand in the 2024-2025 budget. He returned to work 30 days after the 2024-2025 budget was approved. And it appears that budget was an unfunded budget. We did not know about it as council, but the extent of that unfunded budget only became known, it only surfaced this year in February in the adjustment budget that we had to approve. And for the first time in 20 years, council was forced to approve a deficit budget of over 250 million. And we got to understand that that deficit has to be carried over now into the next budget, the 2025-2026 budget that has to be approved. And this is going to take council years to get out of. Now, Provincial Treasury in this year, in the past month or two, released a circular. And in that circular, they advised that municipalities must ensure that there's no deficit or unfunded budgets approved or tabled before council, because if that is done, Provincial Treasury will not support a budget that is a deficit budget. Still has to be seen about how Provincial Treasury is going to respond to Kwadekuza Municipality's deficit budget. But definitely what we can see is that the impact of our adjustment budget in February wiped out all incumbent cash flows of Kwadekuza Municipality. The cash flow coverage will come to probably less than a few days, when it should be at least 1 to 3 months, according to the National Treasury's Circular 72. Now, the drivers behind getting us into this fix was that when the 2024-2025 budget was prepared, that was in the absence of the CFO because he was suspended, and that was even in the absence of this current mayor, because he was not in office at that time. But you would see that what was the contributing factors that led to us being in a deficit budget was that when that budget was prepared, 2024-2025 budget, It had energy losses that were absolutely unsustainable. That budget also had tariff increases that were insufficient. It was insufficient to cover the operational costs of the municipality. That budget also, the mistake that was done there was that officials took once-off monies from interests that came from the disaster funds, the interest of that monies, they took once-off monies and they inserted that into the budget, and that is not proper to do. And there was also unfunded increases of bulk purchases to Eskom. There was no financial capping on some contracts. There was also rising staff costs and so forth. These are some of the contributing factors that caused this municipality to now have a deficit budget.
Yeah, so the new draft budget for the financial year, which starts in the municipal terms in July 2025, it's technically balanced. That balance has come at a cost. So the real question is what's being cut and how will that impact the services we depend on every day? So Warwick, can I bring you in at the moment? So we've got a average salary bill that's costing our ratepayers just under 675 million rand. That's nearly 22% of the operational budget, the total operational budget. And in the tariff, in the budget, they have proposed an average salary increase for staff of 8%. Now, we have got a GDP that is 0.1% at the moment. There's a massive economic hardship across the entire country. And we are sitting on a potential budget that is balanced with severe cuts, yet the 8% increase to staff was not affected. And you'd think that with the austerity measure that they need to be looking at, that would be something that would have been negotiated. What do you think on that particular point?
Yeah, labor in South Africa is complicated. There's a bargaining council involved, and agreements that are struck at that level are difficult to mess with. But certainly from the perspective of the ratepayer, it's unacceptable that we have a bloated and inefficient workforce in our municipality who are patently not getting the job done.
That's very clear.
And yet they are getting a double plus inflation increase. Yeah. That at a fundamental level is simply not acceptable.
Yeah. And also don't forget the staff overtime. You know, they had budgeted 53.8 million rand for staff overtime, but towards the middle of the year that had already exceeded that. So there was an extra 17.2 million added on, which pushed overtime costs to beyond 70 million. And I mean, how do you justify that? Now, electricity is another issue that we're looking at. Electricity in Kwadukuza, it's Kwadukuza Municipality's single largest revenue stream, yet it's also its biggest liability. Now, we've heard that we're losing close to 41 million rand a month on electricity. Now, in the current draft budget, energy losses are estimated to cost the municipality between 410 and 440 million rand this year alone. That's an astonishing figure. And this is the cash cow. How is this going to affect the ratepayers? Because what they are proposing to bring in some sort of austerity measures is to decrease the bulk purchases of electricity for the new financial year.
Yeah, look, I think in the Southern Network, they have proposed a reduction in the budget.
Just 12.5 million.
For the purchases of electricity.
Yeah.
And I think what that reflects is that people in the Southern Network, which is the wealthier part of the municipality, have now alternate sources of electricity or have disconnected from the grid. And so the demand for electricity in the Southern grid is now 10% lower. Okay? But it's not 90% lower, because a lot of people expect that the preponderance of solar systems, for example, has totally erased energy use. You know, even people with a healthy sized solar system are still using, if they're running air cons and things like that, a lot of electricity from the grid. So that explains that. But Penny, at the risk of sounding alarmist,
yeah,
we're in a really critical stage of this municipality's history. We heard Nell on the radio a moment ago mentioning that for the first time in 20 years, we had to accept a deficit budget for the current operating year. And it just so happens that the extent of that deficit budget is extremely closely aligned with the remaining financial reserves of the municipality. They used to be much larger than they are.
I know they were about 3 months, and now they've dwindled down to less than 3 days.
Yeah. So what do we mean by that? What we mean is the municipality is supposed to hold enough free cash in its accounts that if it didn't receive another cent from today onwards, it would be able to continue to operate for 3 months. At the moment, it will be able to continue to operate for a few days. Now, if we have a few things go wrong in this current year, if the electricity situation gets worse and the rate of collection or sales of electricity gets worse, and we collect less than we budgeted, now that deficit could be pushed into a negative cash flow scenario. Negative cash flow meaning we run out of money to get the day-to-day things done.
Yeah.
And I can assure you that probably the last thing that's going to be not paid will be salaries.
Yeah. And you know, the operational expenditure for 25-26 budget is 2.6 billion rand. So that's increased from 249 million. So we have increased operational expenditure from last year to 249 million from the approved budget, which was then reduced by another 20 million in the adjusted budget. I mean, that's not a lot. So basically, our income is coming from our services. We are paying rates, you know, property rates, that's substantial. We are doing refuse collection, that is bringing us an income, and we are doing electricity. But right now, the amount of electricity, you've done a graph on that, and it shows a very alarming trend. The amount of electricity we're buying and the amount of electricity we're selling are on par, which in the last couple of years, the sales were above. So obviously there's no profit. We're actually going down in the red. And this is possibly leading the municipality in a potential financially bankrupt state. Is this an accurate statement?
So in 2013, the municipality made as much as 30% profit on the sale of electricity.
Yeah.
Okay, about 130 million rand.
Yeah.
All right. In 2018, it was down to about 28%, and with the rising cost of electricity, that reflected about 180 million rand. From 2019 onwards, it's been a very steep downhill collapse. And in the last financial year, 23-24, the municipality spent more money buying electricity than it sold.
Okay, that's already a red.
Absolutely untenable.
Yeah. And you know that electricity department now, they've also put a moratorium on hires, new staff hires. They are not allowed to bring in any more people. And already the electricity department has a 41% vacancy rate. It's a crucial industry. I mean, we've had our power outages. They've had overtime. They're using outsourced contractors, which is sending it. It almost feels like they're going into this vicious circle, down this rabbit hole, because now they're trying to prevent the budget from going into a deficit. Yet the measures that they're putting in place are not actually supporting a budget which is going to actually bring them more income.
Look, it's a terrible situation.
Yeah.
Okay? And now's the time.
Yeah.
Right? We banded together before on the bridges in this town.
Yeah.
And we defended it and we protected it. And there's absolutely no reason why we can't do the same thing.
Yeah.
The ANC does not govern this municipality with an outright majority. And its majority is under greater threat now than it has ever been.
Yeah, can I make another point, which I think is quietly draining public funds, because we've looked at the electricity, you know, our rates, our proposed property rates. I mean, we're looking at a revenue of 824 million. And Nell from Action SA said that the revenue was over budgeted. That was because currently there is there's a debtors sitting on almost over just over 300 million, which is showing us that there are a lot of people in financial constraints at the moment. But what has been playing out in the public arena just this week was the current state of our security bill. So the security is costing Kwadukuza Municipality. I've got it written down because I've had to go through a lot of notes because it's a very hidden line item. So let me just break it down. These are these big line items. This is the cost, the operating cost that Kwadukuza every month has to pay. So Eskom, they pay 250 million rand a month to buy electricity. Salaries are 60 million rand. The security bill is 6 million rand. Dolphin Coast Solid Waste is 15 million rand. And then the grass cutting is costing 4 million rand. So these are the big line items. Obviously, we're not looking at contractor services and all the other line items. That's 335 million rand before anything else takes off. And now we looked at the new mayor. He was elected in November. And yesterday, there was a leaked invoice, which showed for the month of March, he has paid 8 guards, private security guards, to guard his home in Dwedwe. So he has 4 full-time security personnel on his property during the day, and then 4 come out in the night, full-time, 24/7. And that is excluding the 5 bodyguards that he walks around with. He goes to his official duties in the day. And that is also excluding the car services that he was costing ratepayers 300,000 a month. We had a fuel bill of 17,000 rand a month. Now, when you look at these containment issues, why are we not looking at this? What is this saying about governance in our municipality?
We are looking at all of this, Penny. All of those numbers that you've read out are either a problem or they're completely expected. We expect, Dave, to have our verges cut. We expect to have our roads repaired. We expect to have our electricity network maintained. We expect to have roads maintained in rural and Dwedwe. We expect all of those things. And what we would like from our municipality is that we get good value for money for all of those services. So the budget should absolutely have line items like the ones that you read out.
6 million rand security, you think that's justified?
I didn't mention that right? But when it comes to the efficiency in actually spending that money, okay? Now, obviously, there's some line items like the security one that you spoke about that are exorbitant, that are purely a symptom of the messy political terrain that we're in. If that mayor and his political party were excellent executors and they had highly efficient teams that were getting the job done, they would not need security.
Absolutely.
That's the bottom line, right? So The IDP consultation session for the coming budget, 25-26, is tonight at Umhlali Primary School at 6 o'clock. And it is time that we get together and we tell the officials of this municipality, as well as the political leadership, that this is unacceptable. Now, the mayor might go tomorrow. If there's a vote of no confidence and the MK are saber-rattling like mad at the moment, if there's a vote of no confidence, the mayor goes. But he is not the main problem. The problem is the municipal manager and his heads of department that are absolutely not interested in turning the situation around. And it is our job to tell them that that is unacceptable to us. DOCRA and the other civic organizations have had great success in trying to get accountability here. We've got NERSA coming to do an audit on the electricity side. We have the cooperative governance department coming to do an audit on the municipality. We've got the SIU, Special Investigation Unit, investigating allegations of corruption. So there are some consequences on the way.
Yeah.
But the ultimate consequence is going to be motivating the people of this municipality to vote in a council next year that is going to turn things around.
Yeah.
And we absolutely, quite simply, have to. This has to be the turning point.
You know, I reached out to DOCRA. DOCRA's chairman, Dion Fulyun, he also sent me a voice note on tonight's Mbeza budget. You know, there's the average resident, you know, they feel disillusioned, they're uninformed or unheard, and they say, why should we care? You know, how can our presence shift this needle? And this is what Dion had to say on tonight's meeting and how critical it is for
residents.
As I've
mentioned earlier, there's also very, apart from the poor leadership and management that we have, there's also totally insufficient engagement with civil society and with the community at large on a number of issues. And this evening is one opportunity to make our voices heard to try and rectify the standoff. Because of this, DOCRA, the Dolphin Coast Residents and Ratepayers Association, together with CORA, the Kwadakuza Organized Residents Alliance, which now includes all civil society organizations on the Dolphin Coast. There's a total of about 7 or 8 of them, including recently the farming community, the neighborhood watch team that has also joined us, Zinkwazi, Blythedale, Tinley Manor, the ICAM organization and the KDRF organization are all collectively part of CORA, have decided that we need to utilize external agencies a lot more. So your listeners will probably be aware of the SIU Special Investigative Unit that is busy looking at some tender issues going back to 2018. DOCRA has also met with COCTA, the Department of Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs of the province, and we've delivered to them 2 leverage files of concerns where the municipality has not bothered to come back to DOCRA and or to CORA or to civil society on a number of issues. Even our PIE applications, which is a legal process, gets ignored and doesn't get answered. So we have delivered that to COCTA and convinced COCTA to issue a Section 106, which is a forensic investigation into our municipality. And some of the things that they will be investigating is obviously the major fraud that was perpetrated recently of 35 million rand, and then maladministration, and a number of issues that we've got on the agenda for COCTA to investigate. And we are pleased to hear that the Minister, Butlezi, has insisted that he gets a response within 90 days on that investigation. We also have a good relationship with the Auditor General that's responsible for our municipality, and we've raised over a number of years now quite a few issues, which we know that the Auditor General has investigated, highlighted, and brought them up as matters or findings for the municipality, and the municipality is on orders to rectify those issues, to consider those issues, and to give feedback to the Auditor General next year. So we do feedback to the Auditor General as well. And then last but certainly not least is NERSA, which is the National Energy Regulator of South Africa, which has, after insistence from CORA and DOCRA, agreed to do a comprehensive electricity audit on our municipality to consider the state of the infrastructure, the state of the maintenance, the delays in big capital projects such as the CUSA and the SCADA management system. And we're looking forward to meeting with them on the 6th and 7th of May to kick off a comprehensive forensic audit of the electricity supply chain and an inconsistency thereof in our municipality.
So, you know, it's civil society now. I think this is such a crucial juncture we are at, because if there is no interference, what we basically looked at, we've looked at the numbers in black and white, and it says if there's no interference, and thank God we've got such a robust civic association and groups in our community, basically this municipality is going to be bankrupt by the end of the year. This and you know, what does that mean? You know, people say, oh, it's the municipality is bankrupt. No salaries are paid. What does that mean? When a municipality is bankrupt, what happens to the communities who've invested in this town?
Look, I think, as I said earlier, salaries are probably the last thing that won't be paid. It's more likely to be a situation like we see elsewhere, where contractors are paid late, later and later and later, as cash flow provides, or contracts are cancelled, so maybe verges stop getting cut and things like that. So the municipality will basically be in a position where it has to pick and choose what it can spend money on. And if we know anything about the ANC and its habits, yeah. It's going to keep paying salaries, it's going to keep funneling money to wherever it's being put into back pockets and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And day-to-day service delivery will start to suffer, and we'll see things that should be happening stop happening. But it's avoidable. And yeah. if we can get the political will to make sure that there are real consequences for the municipal manager and the heads of department, that if they don't turn things around, they go and someone else gets brought
in.
Had
a lot, they've had so much time to turn things around. And you know what? They've been, I mean, look at the mayor. He came in the new term and he promised accountability. He promised solid governance. Sure. And look what he has done. And it's almost like a slap in the face to ratepayers, because he's been so blatant about taking money. I just don't know how he has integrity to stand up and speak to people when this is what's been happening. But you know, tonight at 6 p.m., the municipality is holding the public participation draft budget and integrated plan at Mhlali. So now let's be honest, these meetings are very poorly attended. I've been to so many and there's such apathy. Why? Because many residents don't feel that it directly affects them, or they feel that nothing ever changes. They don't bother showing up. They said, what's the point? This is just another tick in the box for the municipal officials who come there, look so disinterested. The one time, a very emotional resident got up and started asking the mayor, the then mayor, question, and she was actually scrolling through her phone, and she accepted a call while he was talking to her. So this is a type of mentality that's prevailed in the last couple of months. So what do you say to that, Warwick? What is the tipping point to all this?
Look, I have a feeling that tonight is going to be well attended.
Yeah.
And officials are going to be uncomfortable. And that's what needs to happen. So get your butts there and be part of the change.
Yeah, and I hope this episode serves as a wake-up call to our listeners. If you think what's happening doesn't affect you, think again. We are facing a critical issue in our municipality, and it's up to the residents and the ratepayers to turn things around. So we need to support our civic organizations. Thanks, everybody. See you tonight.
This has been another edition of Uncensored with Penny Faree, brought to you proudly by IPSS Electronic Security. It'll be up as a podcast shortly, so an opportunity to share the love.